holes put in.
I'm flabbergasted by this.
Where do you think
it
would
be? The same hole. I don't know what else.
It's got to be the same fucking hole.
You cut it. You cut
no.
it.
No. Hello and welcome to Buena Vista. This is a bonus episode. I am Ben. And welcome to Isn't That Your Good Fun? I'm your host, the oddly sexually Goebbels. We're going to be talking about all sorts of kind of events and so on. Just plain jolly good fun. All this nonsense with a hand virus. Well, that's jolly good fun, isn't it, Lucy?
I'm sorry, you sound like a pedophile.
I've never like a pedophile.
Is that what
charged.
We're doing? We're
I
doing
know,
a pedophile intro?
I wasn't not, prepared to do the pedophile voice.
I've never been accused of being a pedophile.
It's just very wet.
That is how I've been raised to speak. Gentlemen, never raise his voice. Never articulate.
I know exactly what this voice is, by the way.
So I don't know what it is. I'd love to know what you think it is. Oh. This business from the hands of ours. It's very, it's jolly good fun.
It's really good fun.
Yes. And this dreadful business is a serious drama. It's jolly good fun, isn't it, dear? Yes.
Yeah, well.
Rather. I saw it in the paper this morning. I thought, dreadful, but it is jolly good fun.
How in the world is she herself going to do with it? What does she know?
Boy, but I don't think it's going to be a tremendous problem. Somebody else. And of course, it's the carry on and the to do, the global pedophile ring that's among the ultra wealthy, and so it has to be real. So that's jolly good fun, Andrew. Andrew, don't you agree that it's jolly good fun? It's dreadful, but it is.
Oh, it's dreadful.
It's
dreadful.
Awful.
Jolly good fun.
But it is jolly good fun.
But it is jolly good fun.
Hey, at the end of the day, you must admit.
Well, at the end of the day, dreadful. Jolly
how
good
come?
Fun.
How come only the ultra rich are invited?
Yes. What about the medium rich?
It's a disgrace.
My family is dreadfully rich. They were invited, and it seemed like it would have been jolly good fun.
Guy who's showing his girlfriend this episode in the car, he has not made eye contact with her for a solid 45 seconds.
No,
she's
it's good. It's
edging
good.
Her
it's good.
Hand towards
you can actually,
the stereo. He's not intervening.
This part.
Yeah.
Until you hear the first segment theme song, you can just let it wash over you. It doesn't really matter.
I was hearing an Oxford-educated historian who has accidentally got shit-faced on like Shiraz at the pub on a Sunday.
Yeah. I was thinking this is someone who sounds like that when they're sober. That's just sort of how they were raised to speak.
Oh.
You know how really posh people in England don't really have to like articulate their vowels?
Yeah, they don't really enunciate. They're just kind of wet.
They make everything a schwa. If you looked at like their sentences in IPA, it would just be like the backwards E.
Hey, this is all schwa.
It's all schwa, baby.
It's all schwa.
I'm also all schwa after a couple of fucking IPAs.
After a few IPAs!
And then the Brits get over the channel. And then it's all wesh. What's the word?
It's
all wesh.
Wesh.
Wesh. Yeah.
Wesh.
Hey, fundamentally, they don't get each other.
Yeah. But they have so much
like
in common.
Yeah.
They're all disgusting.
Yeah, two houses.
Nasty.
Equal in
dreadful,
dignity.
Dreadful.
Both suck ass.
God, this is so highbrow. It's insane. Hey, if you're one of the few people who first heard an intro from this podcast and decided that that part was good, you didn't have to like suffer through it, you can maybe let us know by contacting us on the Buena Vista hotline.
1-800-317-515, that's the Buena Vista hotline. 1-800-317-515, that's the Buena Vista hotline. Send us an email, mailbag@buenavista.com. Maybe DM us on Twitter. You could even message Facebook, but we don't really check the Facebook. Yeah, 1-800-317-515. That's the Buena Vista hotline. 1-800-317-515. That's the Buena Vista hotline.
You guys want to hear a really bizarre series of celebrities in order, just like no context for what the list that this is coming
please
from is.
Okay.
So you
and this is unrelated to the hotline.
I hate
right
context, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
George C. Scott,
mm-hmm.
Andy Serkis, Leia Seydoux. Tarsem Singh. Alexander Skarsgård. Stellan Skarsgård. Steven Soderbergh.
He's not. Okay.
Todd Solondz.
Yes. All right.
Britney Spears. And Doug Stanhope. That is, of course, a subsection of the list. List of atheists in film, radio, television, and theatre. What a dog shit Wikipedia list. I don't think we need that anymore.
I mean,
and if you're going to do it, put more than like 12 people on the list. It needs to be like 600
people.
Also,
two Skarsgårds doesn't count. Just say the Skarsgårds.
You didn't read the full list, Ben?
No, that list is like 700 names long.
For a second, I
stand behind the list then. List's right, Ben's wrong.
I thought that was the comprehensive list, yeah.
No, that was a subsection of the list.
Like, just for a second there, I had one beautiful moment where I just thought, they fucking left Gervais off the list.
Oh, no, he's definitely on there.
Yeah.
Imagine just getting onto Wikipedia as an editor every week and taking Ricky Gervais back off the atheist list.
Oh, man.
We actually don't want to associate with him.
Marlene Dietrich, fucking Clint Eastwood, Sergei Eisenstein, Dave Foley. Such a horror. Oh, Ricky Gervais right next to Paul Giamatti.
So they've all said this. They've all publicly came out as atheists, which is so brave.
Werner Herzog.
I don't know. We don't know how people are getting on this list. There could just be someone scraping every interview to find when someone got asked a question about religion and went, I don't know, man. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, that goes on the...
You're being documented.
No, that goes on the other list. Agnostics.
Cloris Leachman.
We count those.
I don't count them. I think they're free to make up their own mind.
Ian McDiarmid. Who would have thought? I wouldn't have picked that one.
Okay.
This comes to us from listener Jules. Hello. Hi. Here is a freaky edition of regional bullshit if it piques your interest. It does. Jules has linked us to a website for the 2026 Master Beta Convention.
Okay.
Now, this is Master, spelt the way that you would expect, space, and then B-A-T-O-R.
Mm-hmm. What's a
That's not what I was expecting. B-A-T-E-R, meaning like someone who jacks off his penis until completion.
Oh, it does mean that. That's exactly what this means. This is a convention for people who jack off their penises.
Thinking beta with an I, like a fisherman.
Like a fisherman.
What is a fisherman if not a master beta?
Yes.
Yucky. That's disgusting.
The master beta convention is the world's only men's masturbation convention. It takes place in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania from July 30th.
Pittsburgh shit.
August 2nd. General admission is $200. Here is a broad overview of the...
What do you get?
A lot of public liability insurance for this event.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. It's huge. Yeah. It's the world's only men's masturbation convention.
But you're giving as a masturbator. Like, it seems absurd that you would be paying when you are the one giving.
You gotta give.
Yeah. You're walking in the door lighter than... other way around. You're walking out the door lighter than you came in.
Yeah. You're not kind of receipting it. What are receiving, Ben?
When I go down to the masturbation convention, they get you coming and coming.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mm. Nice. Mm-hmm. And tell you what, on that weekend, you cannot find a spittoon in the town. Mm. All booked out.
Coming in them, yeah.
Yeah.
This is their broad overview of the convention. From check-in to check-out, we have a plethora of events and experiences planned for betas to connect both inside and outside of the event spaces. Explore the exciting world of bait life with various event spaces, an outdoor area, technique classes, demos, milking technique classes, and much more. You can also participate in tourist activities, bar events, and additional fun experiences. Don't miss out on our title competitions for Master Beta 2026, Goon King 2026, and Edging Master 2026, among others.
Oh, my God. What would make you the Master Beta?
You're the best at it, which I think I am, personally.
What are the parameters?
Based on my own personal experience.
Is it like where you do like figure skating or whatever, where you've got to give them the routine ahead of time? With a difficulty rating.
But that's performative. That's doing something for everyone else. I feel like masturbating.
Yeah.
is it? It really is in itself something that you're doing to yourself.
But it's about control and technique.
No, that's edging.
Edging that's master edging. Makes sense. Edging. Like I absolutely understand I've how you become the edging hours, master. Yeah. That's really straightforward.
I still think that it's about control because if you're like hitting the skids 10 seconds in, I don't think you had a very good time.
It really is like the... It's the ultimate subjective activity, right?
Got stuff to do.
Not to me.
I don't have a full sitting 55 down with his clipboard. Curious about what is a beta or what is a gooner? Join us to find out and immerse yourself in the beta world.
No, I'm good, thank you. I actually know all of that, so I probably don't need to pay for your conference.
Makes it sound like they're calling them betas, like, well, maybe it's just
I think that's just our accent. That's just our accent.
Beta.
Beta.
Yeah, I think if you say beta, it's
I'm a master beta.
Beatrix
master beta.
Now, obviously, you guys have some questions. Yes. This is from their FAQ. What is Master Beta Convention?
Yeah.
Master Beta Convention is the world's only men's masturbation convention and brings together the beta and gooner community as well as industry professionals from around the world to showcase their knowledge.
I don't agree that there's a community. It's a solo activity.
There's a whole fucking event. Obviously, there's a community.
Beta and gooner is two separate categories, I think that's fascinating.
I would say gooners are betas, but not all
gooners
betas.
Gooners are betas. Yeah. I guess you can be a beta without being a gooner, right?
That's specialized.
Yeah.
Got to have a bunch of monitors that you stole from the office that you hope no one is missing. this event is designed to be a hands-on, body-positive experience where men can enjoy the brotherhood of other betas.
Hands-on, hey?
Hands-on?
Hands-on. Brotherhood
of other... Hands-on brothers.
The brotherhood of betas.
Are we jacking each other? Is
it a jack-off circle? It kind of sounds like... I guess. Are we chaining? Are we Dutch ruddering?
There's going to be some breakout rooms, certainly.
Yeah.
Let's invent something in here, some fellas. Come spas. On.
What happens at the convention? Our multi-day convention features various classes, demos, stations, and bonding experiences outside of the masturbation learning events as well. Guys hang out and relax together. They go to the bar together. They go and do tourist activities together. We have all sorts of sexy spaces available in the event venue to take advantage of, ranging from an outdoor area, kinky spaces, stations, goon room, club-like spaces, fantasy spaces, and more. Mm-hmm, lots of fun activities for betas to get into.
I'm mainly picturing a Richard Simmons workout, but he's jacking off.
He's jacking off, yeah.
And ordering you
to jacking off. It's like a room full of people.
Too.
It's like a JOI with like a
yoga
one.
Yoga class.
Yeah, yeah.
Room JOI, yeah.
Yeah, like group Pelotons, JOI. like a spin class, but it's all guys who are jacking off in time with Richard Simmons as he kind of barks his commands. There's very up-tempo
more energy.
80s synth music going, obviously. Obviously, goes without saying. Everybody is wearing the little shorts, the calf-height socks, the athletic socks.
Pull.
Yeah. If you were in the room doing your synchronized jacking off with all of the other betas in there and you were the first to come, would you be embarrassed or would you be like the best in the class?
Would you be like, I did it the best?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is why we need to understand the rubric.
Then what you do? Do you just stand with your hands on your hips going, whew?
No, you lie down because you're sleepy.
Yeah.
I got to start spotting someone else immediately.
I might start reading my book, actually. One page. I'm out. Now, Lucy, you said this is a very Pittsburgh thing. They do address the fact that it is taking place in Pittsburgh. And
I think they
articulate this very beautifully. Why Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh's beautiful landscape, unique architecture, and rich history make it a destination that appeals to everyone. This charming spot is an affordable metro city with lots of fun bonding experiences for betas to do outside of the bait-based events. A lively food scene, breweries, sports venues, a casino, and more.
This is actually kind of beautiful. It's like you're going out with the guys from the convention. You're going to the bar, you're going to the casino, you're doing some sports betting. You might be watching the fucking Pens game because you're a masturbator. Drinking some micro brews, watching the Pens game, jacking off to Sidney Crosby, and then you go back to the convention. And it's like you've bonded so you would feel more comfortable with those guys because you went to the microbrewery and jacked off to Sidney Crosby just yesterday.
Yeah. I'm the guy in the group who has come along and is like very visibly sulking because I expected to be able to jack off in the casino. And then not letting me jack off in the casino.
Yeah. Didn't extend the sort of the social mores of the convention to the casino, unfortunately.
I was to understand, you know. What's even the point? Can we go? Can we go back to... We've been here for so long, guys.
The affordable Metro City being a selling point for the masturbating convention is so awesome to me.
It's so
That's
good.
Just like, it's just practical.
Cheap. It's practical.
Good public
wankable cities.
In Philly.
Wankable
in Philly, it'd
cities.
Be so much more expensive.
Unique architecture? Come on. That's awesome. Now, I experienced some slightly complex feelings about this that are nuanced. I don't want people to get mad at me. Mm. You know, I don't, I'm not, I know this is setting me up for failure by saying this, but I just want to express first, I'm not homophobic. I've wanked and been wanked. I've sucked and sucked off. You know, I've been in that community. I'm a part of that world.
Yeah. And you weren't scared.
No, but only in a fun way sometimes. I was really picturing in my head that this was like the straight guy jack off convention. That
Me
it's
too.
Just like, dude,
and then you
blowing
said
out.
That there's like
yeah, and then they keep adding more activities to it. Yeah.
Yeah. The moment they say the kink stuff and the club like rooms, I'm like, oh.
So it's just
this
like a hookup thing.
It's a gay hookup thing for
but
guys
is it,
that.
But.
Can you go if you're straight?
Oh, my God. Yeah. They're not turning you
away. You can
go
if you're straight, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But when you were starting off and we were picturing the straight guy jack off fest, I think that's because the first like three judgeable events that were listed, one of them was the Goon King. And in my mind, gooning is like a very expressly hetero coded activity.
It feels
activity.
Like a hetero activity, right? Just
maybe it isn't.
Claim
maybe it isn't. Let us know if we're wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there are gay gooners out there. I'm sure there's gainers, you know?
Absolutely.
Mm. Yeah.
And more power to you. Get as many monitors as you can, King.
iPads, your old phone that doesn't really work anymore, whatever you've got.
Yeah.
I'm obviously associating gooners with like porn addiction subculture
type
stuff.
Yeah, I think
stuff,
that's natural.
You know? So that's why I'm thrown too, Ben, because I had the same feeling as you. As you got like into the deep cuts on there, it sounded like, oh, there's got to be some fucking and sucking in some of these rooms.
Yeah.
You know? I think that detracts from like the purity of it, though, of just
the
being masturbation
certainly.
Convention.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't think you should
sex
hook up.
Into the equation.
No, let's not make it sexual.
Yucky.
whoa! Keep your lanyard on. Keep your lanyard on.
There is a kind of guy that exists that describe themselves as being purely heterosexual that also does mutual jack offs, watching straight porn with their buds.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah,
that's like a big
little
thing.
Moot mat with the boys.
And like in the past, that was maybe like a closeted gay guy where they could sort of lie to themselves, keep it secret from the wife, but like, no, this is just straight guy stuff. We're just watching some awesome porno.
Just me and Jimmy, and we jack each other off every weekend.
And then we taste each other's cum at the end. But like, it's
not,
just, you know.
And then we go for
just
beers.
To see. Oh, it does taste different. That's awesome, dude. Let's go
I
some microbrew.
I just don't like pineapple.
Let's go to the microbrew. Let's go axe throwing.
Dude, let's get a microbrew. But then there's also a subset of like a gay guy that wants the straight mooch jack off experience as if it's like it's a fantasy thing where it's like we're just
forbidden.
Two straight dudes, but we're just we're jacking off. And that's kind of part of the thrill
that's
as well.
Part of the thrill, yeah.
Is pretending that you haven't prearranged this or whatever. I think there should be part of it that's like Renaissance fair rules where like. You pretend you're just straight guys at the straight guy jack. And like you're all beautiful men that are very well groomed with
Yeah, but you're doing role playing.
As like straight dudes.
Yeah.
You're Hi,
like,
I'm
up,
Todd.
What's up? What's up?
Yeah.
What's up?
Just had a bunch of micro brew and I was going to jack off. Penguins are doing pretty good this year. Let's jack off.
Let's jack off.
You pass through the rope curtain. You're like, I've never seen a Penguins game in my life.
Imagine drinking 8 IPAs and then trying to jack off in front of someone.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Say trying.
Yeah, absolutely. Fucking nuts.
It's standard weekend.
Is the edging event just like those absolutely miserable, you got to keep your hand on the car for as long as possible?
Yeah.
Like, can't take your hand off your dick or you're disqualified.
It's you reckon the same psychological warfare comes into play?
Yeah.
Start telling the guy jacking off next to you a really sad story.
And they've got their own techniques.
No, you don't
want to
tell him a sad story. You
want to
tell him a sexy
him.
Story.
Yeah. You got to get right up at his ear.
Yeah, you got to be like Sidney Crosby.
Suck
Sidney Crosby
cock.
Nude.
I was more thinking that you're telling him a story that's so involving that he gradually forgets he's jacking off and just kind of trails off.
Yeah.
And at that point, the ref blows the whistle.
And yeah,
you're
like,
out
hey,
of here.
Yeah.
You're
offside.
Not, yeah, you're,
offside.
You're traveling. You've got to be dribbling.
Yep.
Lucy, you're saying Sidney Crosby because he's the only hockey player that doesn't look like he's been in a car accident at least once in his life.
He's the captain of the Pens, all right?
Yeah, and he's
thank
got
you for that very valuable context, by the way.
Yeah, he's like a hockey player that doesn't look absolutely fucked.
Yeah, he doesn't look too fucked. If you were to jack off over a Pens player, that's probably the one. You know?
Well, I'll have to go through the whole roster.
I mean, there's
I'll,
a few.
You know. Couple of jack-offable dudes in there.
Couple of jack-offable dudes in there for sure.
And I realize that is semantically ambiguous. We'll find out which one of those senses we mean. Oh, when I find out which Penguins players are the hottest, we'll maybe report back in an update to an old news story. We won't, but we will do one in this segment. Oh shit, it's an update to an old news story.
Oh shit, it's an update to an old news story.
This is sent in by listener Morgan. This is a follow-up to something that we talked about in the bonus episode, Nothing Shorter Than Clamch. This is from the Stamford Advocate in Connecticut. Lobster roll wars. Lobzilla may have met its match in 3-pound King Claw found in North Brantford.
Oh, that's a
bigger. How did this suddenly
Lobzilla?
Turn into like the, this, like a lob this guy off. Got looks maxed. This suddenly turned into they're getting like crab mogged.
Yeah.
I think the problem with this is if it's just something where you could indefinitely keep adding lobster, it will never finish. It will never be over.
You can always
until
add
everyone
more lobster.
Is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gonna get like freak shakes, but with lobster, you know? It's getting stupid. Yeah. Keep it simple.
Supreme Seafood may have started a lobster roll war with its recently launched King Claw, a 3-pound lobster roll to match up against the Clam Castle's reigning 2-pound Lobzilla in Madison.
Uh-huh.
Served on a giant brioche roll, the King Claw at $230 is the biggest lobster roll in New England, the Shoreline restaurant owners claim.
Lobzilla is also one of the prizes they hand out at the Master Beta contest.
Furthest come. it was unveiled on social media shortly after Madison's Clam Castle boasted that their 2-pound Lobzilla was the largest roll in the state. You know what? Sometimes I think about that Kurt Vonnegut quote about never making someone feel like something that the cat drug in.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Imagine how shitty, how fucking awful, how loathsome the Clam Castle people must have felt to just see that this thing that they'd put their heart and soul into. So I'm just being like, are you kidding me? 2 pounds? About 3 pounds. Jag off.
It's actually tiny
so
lobster roll.
Useless.
So useless.
That's got to be kind of heartbreaking. You know, you had a couple of days of good press. People being like, wow, that's a huge lobster roll. And then now you've been made to look like a complete fucking idiot.
Yeah. And people are like, actually, 2 pounds is not even finishing me off.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
I'm
on
ready
a podcast.
For some more.
I need 2.5 to get anywhere.
Yeah.
You don't want to be telling someone about your lobster roll and having them say, yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen bigger.
It's
thicker than usual. Like, it's thicker than the other ones I've seen.
It's
really
definitely one
too.
Of the biggest lobster rolls I've ever seen, for sure.
Lucy, I feel like if anyone ever saw you make that facial expression, then they would immediately start thinking about killing themselves. That was rough. Supreme Seafood's 30-inch long bun is made by Pastry Fusions next door to the eatery in Twin Lakes Plaza at 999 Foxen Road in North Brantford.
30-inch long.
I do like that this is a technical collab. Ooh. Like that they have gone another person and been like, hey, here's our problem. Can you help us?
Local collab, yeah.
Well, that's kind of nice. There's a community aspect to that I enjoy. Rising tide, all boats. Their 3-pound lobster sandwich came about from a customer request. Owners Robert Marcarelli and Jared Schulefand said they had no grand plan to compete with the Clam Castle. They've been offering a 1-pound lobster roll for a few years now. The customer, quote, saw the 1-pounder and they asked Eric, our chef manager, if he could make a bigger roll for them, Marcarelli said.
Just call me a chef, it's fine.
Oh, he's actually a double threat. He's the chef manager.
And he can sing.
Pick a lane.
And we said, of course, we can make a lobster roll as big as you want.
So why stop at 3 pounds? Why does this matter?
Why are we doing the dance of just like gentle one ups when you can just cut to the chase? 100 pounds of lobster, there you go. It costs $10,000.
It's $10 million. Yeah.
Is that what you fucking wanted? It's the American brain doesn't understand that there's a limit to good things.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta stop somewhere.
Yeah. I would stop at like 200 grams.
Yeah. I think that'd probably be like the standard filling on a lobster roll. I think that's very reasonable. That's actually probably slightly on the bigger side.
Probably
that's
on probably the bigger, bigger side, actually, roll. Yeah.
I think they got it right the first time.
But when you go online, they're so much bigger. You know.
And you think, oh, is that what a lobster roll looks like? Is that what a regular lobster roll looks like? It isn't. Yeah. You know, you're getting a distorted
up the side?
View. Oh, it's always perfect. The stripe up the side, perfect.
Yeah, always lined up. Never
it's not
broken.
What I'm expecting. I'm not expecting that when I go to get a lobster roll, you know?
Yeah. Is this a good podcast?
It doesn't matter if it's been stepped on.
For the first 3-pounder, they had to get creative, grabbing a few sub rolls, cutting them down to neatly piece together to create one long bun. I don't think you can do that. That's just a bunch of rolls butted up against each other. That's not one.
That's true. I hate when they do bun. This. Yeah. It's like a giant fucking Subway sandwich. It's not. It's just 10 Subway sandwiches next to each other.
Oh, when they're talking about like a Guinness record for like a longest sandwich or something, and it's a bunch of loaves of bread end on end. No. I want to see the one where they're making the world's biggest paella and it's in a fucking massive
paella. Yeah, they're doing it in a satellite dish.
One dish. You're cooking this in one thing. I don't
think
you can.
They're doing it in the dish.
That Arecibo station now that's been decommissioned. Paella in Arecibo?
Yeah. If you're doing a 50-foot long sub sandwich, right? It needs to have been baked in a 50-foot long oven.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't just give me 50 Subway sandwiches.
Yeah, you can't Frankenstein it together. That doesn't count, you know?
No.
You need like the world's freakiest shaped bread oven ever made.
Yeah. Plus it looks and feels weird.
Is your oven freaky?
When it's broken up into different pieces.
Is it very freaky?
After their inaugural roll, quote, "I couldn't find a roll anywhere," said Chef Eric Bond, who later tried using a large Italian loaf, but it didn't really work.
Okay.
Bond's happy with what Pastry Fusions came up with. He's making us these custom rolls, and they're absolutely delicious. Out in the dining area, the gigantic roll looked nearly as big as six-month-old Sawyer, who was perched on the counter with the help of his mum, Marissa Schulefand, a partner at the restaurant with her husband, Jared Schulefand. Quote, "You got buttery little hands," Marissa Schulefand told her son with a chuckle.
I bet he did.
Yeah. From the lobster roll. Bond plans to offer a 3-pounder to go this summer for customers to build their own lobster roll. It would come with a toasted bun wrapped in foil and containers for the lobster meat and butter sauce. The King Claw is now offered only to dine-in customers. Doesn't have to be a takeaway meal. Does it?
Imagine door dashing that thing. It gets to your place 50 minutes later.
Yeah. Oh. Getting really high and ordering the $250 lobster roll.
Oh, fuck.
I'm going to eat it.
No. Dude turns up with this thing. It's like room temperature out of his car boot.
Thanks. You can't eat that tomorrow. That's an eating it now situation, the lobster roll. Yeah.
Shouldn't heat that back up again.
Quote, "We're doing a lobster party, lobster picnic, where you can pick your own weight, however much you want, 1 pound, 2 pound, 3 pound, with dessert," Bond said about their plans. "Any number you want. We're not making lobster rolls. The owners aim to give back to the community," Jared Schulefan said. "They're hosting a fish fry on Friday, May 20th, to help out fellow seafood restaurant owner Kevin Haywood, when they will donate 10% of their proceeds for the day to his GoFundMe. The fundraiser is to help him with his medical expenses and reopen his decades-old restaurant, Kevin's Seafood, in New Haven." Quote, "So if anyone comes in and buys a massive lobster roll, 10% of that will go to Kevin," Schulefan says.
Oh, a little cream for Kevin.
A little something for Kevin, that's good.
Cream for Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just feel like people just do normal stuff. Hey, I don't like new things.
Yeah. Mm.
Different
things.
Things that are different and unexpected.
I don't like when the menu changes.
No.
I don't like when the thing I wanted on the menu isn't there.
Pepsi tastes different.
Mm.
If you bought a Pepsi and you expected it to have the classic taste of Pepsi, and it didn't, you'd feel like you'd been scammed. We talk about scams in Scam Watch.
Warning, warning. Someone has successfully or unsuccessfully attempted a scam and must be judged. This is Scam Watch.
This comes to us from Sora News in Japan. Japanese criminals are now using crabs to hunt for burglary targets.
Sorry, I was stuck on Sora News, but Sora crabs. Yeah.
News about Sora.
Yeah, he got a new keyblade.
From freaking Kingdom Hearts. Come on.
Crabs.
He's got a freaking keyblade. I bet you guys cannot guess in what way the crabs are involved in this.
That doesn't make any sense.
Big coconut crabs. They don't have a gun, that's for sure.
No, these are little regular-sized crabs. We're not talking giant crabs that have been given a gun as part of a burglary scheme.
Yeah. That'd be really fun.
Stick them up. See? No, letting them out and seeing if they can find any little cracks to get into that might reveal an opening to a warehouse, but then the crab is gone and you don't know where it went.
Things of that nature.
You put the wayfarers, the meta wayfarers on the crab.
Yes.
Let him scuttle on in there.
Those are both good guesses.
And very good at capturing the attention, too. Everyone's going to be like, ooh, damn,
that
crab,
that crab looks
fucking
sick.
Ray-Bans?
Has that crab got pit vipers on?
And you're just like heaping the crown jewels into your pockets.
Yep. You got to remember to give the crab a clipboard in one of its claws.
Yes.
People won't stop it. Yeah. People won't stop it then. Mm. Really hard to get little eight-legged overalls made.
Yeah, that crab's just here to look at the mains box. I won't bother him. With its consecutive national holidays, Golden Week is one of those long-awaited periods in Japan, with many people eager to leave behind their daily stresses and get away from it all.
So true.
However, this year saw the emergence of a new trend in crime that looks just as fishy as it smells.
Crab's not a fish.
Fishy as a crab, that's right.
I don't think crabs smell fish. Okay.
Criminals
Are crabs a fish?
Crabs are not a fish.
I don't think a crab is a fish.
If there's no such thing as a fish, then how come a crab's not one?
Yeah.
Obviously, there is
a
taxonomy that we're applying here.
If there's no such thing as a fish, then there's no such thing as anything, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And if that's wrong, what else about that podcast is wrong? Criminals in Japan have turned away from the traditional methods of scouting out potential places to hit up for burglaries and have started to employ the use of live crabs and stag beetles.
Stag beetles too.
Stag beetles.
As long as it's got an exoskeleton, a thief can
anything
use it.
With a hard exoskeleton.
Yeah. Like Lucy. She's impossible to crack.
That's right.
Wow. Imagine stepping out of your front door, the warm sun beaming down on you, when you look down and spot a crustacean standing in front of your door, looking innocently in your direction.
I would scream. I would fucking squeal.
Would you? At a crab?
You open your door and there's a... How big is this crab? Imagine you open your door and there's a big crab.
I've told the story before. We went hiking once in the scenic rim kind of thing. Mm. And we... what do you call it? When you crest the hill.
Mm.
And then in the middle of the path, there's an enormous crayfish just standing there snapping its pincers at us.
Yeah.
Mm. Naked as the day it was born.
I was not expecting a crayfish.
Is that the species of crayfish in Queensland that's specifically found in rainforests?
Yes, it is. They're pretty cool, I found out.
Forest crayfish?
Forest crayfish.
I want them. Oh, forest lobsters.
Some kind of forest lobster?
This is the wrong biome.
Yeah, you doesn't
You're
seem
not
like
supposed
it should
to
be
spawn
there.
In
you shouldn't
here.
Be there. That's weird.
Yeah, you got one of them Minecraft glitches.
Yeah. Supposed to be in rock pools.
You guys remember Minecraft? Was that this game that came out in 2000?
Never played it.
2009, 2010, and you
never played it.
Cubes? You stacked cubes or something?
Yeah.
It was really weird. When I was in uni, everyone was obsessed with it, and then I don't know, the guy probably died or something.
Everybody was playing it.
Yeah. Very strange.
Yeah.
Kind of boring. There wasn't much to do.
No cultural impact. I think.
It's like Avatar, right?
Avatar.
You never hear about Avatar anymore.
No one's ever talking about Minecraft anymore.
Movie with the blue guys? Cost them a heap of money. I don't know if they made any money or not, but it was just about some
blue guys.
They
never even played the
blue
drums.
Yeah. Now, you haven't just caught their latest member, Red Claude, in the middle of their first ever heist. The situation is actually a little more complex.
Oh.
It's more complex than a crab being part of a burglary
a
team.
It's a little
a
more
heist?
Complex than that.
Well, I thought it was just a crab that was part of a burglary team. Yeah. That was frickin' Ocean's 11.
Hey.
because... Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oceans.
Because he's...
Does a crab have 10 legs?
Crabs are decapods.
Is a crab a decapod?
I think crabs are decapods.
Crabs are decapods.
Yeah, crabs are decapods.
Yeah, crabs are decapods.
I'm thinking crabs are decapods.
Actually, I read an article today about where sideways walking decapods first evolved, where they're the first common ancestor of the true crabs, because true crabs walk sideways.
Hmm. Yeah.
A true crab.
Well, there's several parallel evolutions that have ended in carcinization. Yeah.
I wouldn't presume to tell a crab how to live its life, to be honest. Yeah. But that's fine for you to do it.
In the modern era, when people see something out of the ordinary, many attempted to reach for their phones and snap a picture of it to show other people or upload it onto social media. As you're uploading that short clip of the crab waving its claws at you in a friendly manner, thinking that you're going to get so many likes and comments at the absurdity of meeting your new crab buddy in the middle of a metropolitan city.
And you will.
Fucking robbed blind.
You've already fallen into the criminal's trap.
Yes.
That's exploiting one of our basest desires to photograph and share an image of a crab.
For likes and subscribes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. To get some subscribes off the back of a crab.
Yeah.
Of a crab pic.
And you would.
A cool crab pic.
Oh, you
would. Cool metropolitan crab pic.
Crabs in a funnel, you know?
See, what these burglars are waiting for is for you to do exactly that.
Yeah.
They place these animals at your front door and then monitor social media for keywords and tags like crab and surprise.
What? I thought they were just going to steal the phone.
I thought that as well. That was
this
my first
This is actually so
moped.
Much more complex.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Guys looking in the IG tags for that area for crab surprise, and then he matches it to your front door. And then he's found your social media accounts.
Okay.
And then what next?
What next?
You show up and say, oh, you found my crab.
You owe me $100 for that crab pic.
You might think you're innocently giving that crab a cigarette, but that's just what the thieves wanted.
Viral Hog owns the likeness of this crab. You owe me $25,000.
Where'd my crab get this cigarette? Where'd my crab get these Meta Ray-Bans? What are you doing to my crab?
You made my crab sick.
My crab's been vaping.
Hey, you teach him how to vape. Then, through monitoring of local tags or physical clues in your photos, the thieves can identify your home and link it to your social media account.
For now,
your house and belongings are still safe. But when you upload a photo of you enjoying a beach cocktail 3 days later on a tropical island... They now know exactly which house is currently empty and ripe for the picking.
This is so smart.
Hit you with a crowbar?
They like throw a brick at your head and then take your belongings and then sell them for money?
Yeah, but what if they put a crab at your front door and then you posted a picture of the crab? What do they think you're going to tag? You're going to geotag your crab pic or hashtag your crab pic?
Yeah.
A lot of people do for the engagement.
I guess for the engagement.
You don't believe Sora News or the burglars?
I don't believe Sora News.
Okay. You reckon this is maybe hyped up, trumped up?
I think this is definitely trumped up.
I think it's real.
I'm talking about the orange guy in the White House.
Hey.
What happened to that guy?
Yeah.
He's like president for like one time. Never
hear
and
about
completely
him anymore.
Disappeared. Literally
Donald,
never
remember,
hear about him.
Guys, remember Donald Trump?
I think they got right to putting him in jail for electoral fraud and all the other stuff.
Yeah, they got
so
him.
So sorted that out. Probably want him. Yeah. Didn't forget about it or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that other guy, you know, all came crumbling down, their fragile house of cards. You know what? America just realized that right is right and good will always prevail.
And knowledge is power.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nevertheless.
And Francis Bacon.
She, the Statue of Liberty.
Yes.
Persisted.
Yeah.
So while the temptation to try and go viral with your newfound doorstep crab is high, security advisors are recommending instead to refrain from posting anything and defend yourself with silence.
I'm going to go get a crab from the aquarium and I'm going to post a picture of it outside my door and with hashtag crab surprise.
Yeah.
Post it out. I'm going to give it a cigarette, put it outside my house on my doorstep, crab surprise. And then I'm going to pretend I'm on holiday, but I'm going to be sitting in my apartment with a gun.
Waiting.
But they won't know because they didn't.
Castle
part. The first part of the step is the first step of the thing is very important where they release the crab and are known location.
They're not going to know. They're just clicking on the hashtag.
Yeah.
Crab surprise.
You should style your front doorstep to look more Japanese. To trick the burglars. This is actually like a social service you can do to help the people of Japan, is to take a crab pic on your doorstep, but make your front door look Japanese.
Flood social media, making your doorstep look Japanese with crab.
Flood the zone with fake Japanese crab pics.
Fake Japanese crab pics.
And with all the fake Japanese crab pics out there, you can't tell what's real crab pics from Japan anymore.
That sickens me. Yeah. You used to be able to trust an image. You know when that was like, hey, you show me a photo of something, I know it's real.
That's real because it's a photo.
Yeah, it's real to me.
Fucked up.
We generate enough AI-made photos of crabs to flood the zone, boil the ocean, no more crabs, surprise, problem solved.
Yep.
Then you see a crab, you know it's not real.
Yep.
See a crab on the road, kill him.
Because there's no crabs anymore.
Because there are no crabs, yeah.
There's no crabs.
There are no crabs.
If you see a crab on the road, no, you haven't.
Yeah.
You've seen something else.
Mind your own business.
Lock your car doors immediately, at the very least.
If you find a stag beetle standing guard outside of your door, it's not looking for its 15 minutes of fame. It's likely a dastardly accomplice in a crime in waiting.
Why would it get it from me?
Why would it want fame?
I don't know if I'm taking a picture of a stag beetle.
Oh, come on. They're beautiful.
They're quite large, right?
Yeah.
But they're no crab. I don't know if it's quite as exciting. Yeah. I'd be like, stag beetle outside my door.
Hey,
that's
crazy. Stay right there and grab a big rock.
<Don't> man.
Then they're out of a stag beetle.
Yeah.
Their operating costs are going up.
Down a beetle.
Yeah. Mm.
They'd just be like the beetles in what year was John Lennon killed?
I think so. An option we didn't explore here in terms of 97? Self-defense is if you open your door and there is a crab at your door, immediately eat the crab.
Yeah,
take the
crab
inside, throw it in the pot, eat the crab, and when someone comes knocking, what crab? Seafood bib still tucked in.
Just post a picture of it.
Buttery
fingers. Buttery, yummy crab.
Oh, this?
It's a free dinner.
I don't believe any of this. I don't think the payoff is worth it. I think they're just going to come into your house and hit you with a rock.
No, I don't think it's not really the Japanese way. They wouldn't do it. Yeah,
it doesn't seem particularly Japanese.
They don't hit people with pipes in Japan. They consider it to be very rude.
Yeah,
it's considered very dishonorable.
Oh, it's against the Bushido code. Hit your sleeping opponent with a pipe
and take his PS5. So if you see a crab this week, just greet it politely, keep your camera in your pocket, and save the photos for your next holiday. What?
It sounds like a psyop to stop people from taking photos of everything they see.
Yeah.
We're just going to keep introducing more stuff. And also, this is criminals out to get you.
Hey, pretend it's 1995. Put your phone away.
Yeah. It's like someone trying to restart. You know all the American people who give themselves psychosis about being human trafficked?
Yep.
They're like, oh, I saw a zip tie on a fence. Someone is trying to human traffic me.
Yeah.
We're reinventing that, but with crabs, I think.
Yeah.
Mm. This crab is here to get me robbed or whatever. Maybe it's just a crab outside. Yeah. Maybe there's just a crab outside. That's
maybe
what
sometimes a crab is just a crab. Mm. Maybe that crab is currently in the middle of doing Crab 2, Crab in the City.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Don't look that crab horse in the mouth.
Yes. My cousin actually provided the wig for Crab 2, Crab in the City.
That's crazy. Why have you never told that anecdote before? Seeing a crab in the big city? Now, that's just good, clean fun. We talk about things that are good, clean fun. Now, that's just good, clean fun.
Now, that's some good, clean fun.
This comes to us from the English language Spanish news website, The Olive Press.
Beautiful name.
Spanish bullfighter narrowly avoids double amputation after falling into feed grinder on family farm.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Yeah, you hate to see it, don't you?
Oh, that's one, you know, I'm pretty happy to watch any video that comes along of a bullfighter just getting cleaned up.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, can't feasibly not feel bad about it, like, feel fine with it. You're like, oh,
you shouldn't be doing that. Yeah.
That'll happen. You were fighting the bull, dude.
That'll happen.
Yeah. What's the Dolph Lundgren movie with the future soldiers? Universal Soldier. He got Universal Soldiered.
Retired Spanish bullfighter Alberto Alvarez narrowly escaped losing both legs after falling into a feed grinder on his Zaragoza farm.
Wow.
The 45-year-old matador was working on his farm in Ejea de los Caballeros, where he breeds fighting bulls, when he fell into an industrial feed grinder in a horrific accident that left both of his legs badly injured and caused severe blood loss.
I think if I'm going to live through a fall into a feed grinder machine, I want to go legs first. If I'm going to die as the result of falling into a feed grinder machine, I'd prefer to go head first, I think.
Head down.
I'd like to have 90% of it get ground up while I'm not there.
Absolutely. You really kind of dictate at the start of the kind of...
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? You know, you don't want to die in the accident. You'd be trying to get out of there.
Yeah, but if it sort of crushed the part of you that knows instantly, it's kind of like, meh.
Oh,
you know.
Oh, this one's over. Yeah. You know?
Alvarez was airlifted to Miguel Servet University Hospital, where he underwent emergency surgery with doctors warning that one of his legs might need to be amputated. Surgeons were able to save both of Alvarez's legs following a successful operation. However,
well, hold on. If you're only warning us about one potential amputation, I don't know if you get to take credit for both legs afterwards. You got to call it like Babe Ruth, you know?
You have to call it.
Yep. I'm going to save both of your legs.
Or none at all.
Yes. Or if the job is not done to my satisfaction.
Yeah, I'm walking away.
However, the bullfighter who retired from the ring last October remains in a critical condition in the hospital's intensive care unit. His fiancée, known only as Veronica, described the harrowing ordeal in an interview with Antenna 3.
Veronica sounds pretty hot.
Yeah, why shouldn't I get one name? It's very sexy. It's very mysterious.
Why is it a sexy name? Yeah.
How come your wife's mononymous, dude? Is your mononymous wife monogamous?
And just because they're mononymous doesn't mean they're not cheating.
This is not, no, I'm not doing this on the...
Got it.
She explained that Alvarez fell into the grinder while cutting twine from a bale of hay. As soon as the accident happened, he called Veronica. He called me and asked me to help him. I wasn't there. I called for help. He kept saying, Vero, help me.
From the machine?
From within the machine. He's in the meat grinder and he's on his cell phone. Classic. Just be in the moment.
Yeah. Look at everything you're missing. Put it on.
If you bothered to look up, buddy, you'd see that the sky is blue. Yeah. You know?
Civil play.
Quote, he managed to get out of the grinder by himself by thinking about our daughter Macarena and using all of his strength, she said.
No way. Come
saved
on.
By thoughts of your Macarena.
Can't be called Macarena.
She also thanked the medical staff at the Zaragoza Hospital, saying they did incredible work. They saved his life and his legs. A native of Zaragoza, Alvarez began bullfighting at just 13 and retired to his family farm in October 2025 after a successful career in the ring.
I'm sorry, how long did you do that for? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like 37 years? 32 years?
Doing it at 13, though, that's like a fucking child soldier. That's...
Yeah.
You just blooded into that one.
It's no good. Damn. I'm brave enough to say it. Bullfighting. Not cool.
No bueno.
Not cool.
Nasty. Not cool. News of the horrific accident has sent shockwaves through Spain's bullfighting community, which has already been shaken by a series of recent incidents. Grow up.
Oh, yeah. What were the incidents during?
Well, in April, 51-year-old former matador Ricardo Ortiz was gored to death while unloading bulls at La Malagueta.
Okay. Cool.
Wow, that's tragic, right. Dude.
No,
what was he unloading the bulls for?
I live by the horn.
Just weeks later, I mean, they're also guys that live by the sword, right? They have swords
as
well.
They live by the sword, too.
Yeah. Live by the sword and horn.
Stabbing bulls with them, I think.
Just weeks later, during Feria de Abril celebrations in Seville, bullfighters Jose Antonio Morante Camacho and Andres Roca Rey were both rushed to hospital after suffering separate injuries in the ring within the space of 3 days. How'd they get injured?
Yeah, that's crazy.
No way.
They like trip over while they were like patting a bull or something.
Yeah,
while they were
down.
Like feeding a bull, restoring one to health. Is that what happened?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Were they doing Steve Irwin stuff to one of the bulls?
I think they were doing Steve Irwin
stuff. If you watch it in reverse, it's not so bad. He's
this
taking all of the weapons out of the bull.
He's taking his horns out.
You know what they say, man? You lie down with bulls, you get bulls.
You're going to get gored, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
So how I feel about seeing anybody get run over, like doing the running of the balls. I go, yeah, you got into the narrow channel where they let you know they would be sending a herd of bulls down there.
Yeah. And they're big and they've got sharp points on them. So you probably want to stay out of that.
Yep. They're upset. There's too many people around making a lot of noise.
Yeah. I tend to stay away from bulls.
If I don't want to be rumbled, I don't go to the rumble zone.
Yeah. I'd probably just like go to a cafe and have some pinchos and some tempranillo if I was in Spain.
Little tempranillo.
Oh, a couple of pinchos, little tempranillo.
Tempranillo?
Yeah, tempranillo. Mm. That's right. Yeah. Alvarez's terrifying ordeal has further shaken Spain's bullfighting community.
It didn't even happen to him when he was fucking bullfighting.
Stop doing this shit. Come on.
This sucks.
But they heard about it because they all know. Like, he was the best at harassing and then killing bulls.
Murdering them, yeah.
This man was a legend when it comes to slowly killing a bull for entertainment. And to see him almost lose both of his legs in some tragic karmic accident.
Yeah.
Why does that article?
It could happen to any of us.
Why does the article insist on kind of relating the sentiment around these things? Like, these other people were, like, trampled or gored in their capacity of fucking around with bulls. Mm. This guy used to be a bullfighter. A year later, like, if he got hit by a bus, would they go, this is shaking the bullfighting community along with all these other
shaking
incidents?
Shaking the bus driving community,
Hey. This country does bullfighting, and that sucks. But there's a country where they don't do bullfighting, probably. Maybe. Somewhere in the northern provinces they might. Who knows? It's time for Netherlands Quarter.
Everybody, I'm from Holland. Isn't that beer?
This comes to us from DutchNews.nl. Dutch trio behind wave of fake Canadian propaganda videos.
Okay.
All right.
That's fun.
What are you propagandizing about Canada? The food scene is actually really good.
Yeah.
Just fake. Picturing Tim Hortons with two O's. Yeah.
Tim Horton. Three Dutch nationals are behind a wave of propaganda videos promoting secession in the Canadian province of Alberta, investigators in Canada have found. Not even like...
Albertan secession?
Quebecan secession? Yeah. Albertan secession?
Secession? I don't know that much about Alberta.
I think this is like a WA situation where they're like, they produce a lot of the mineral wealth or whatever, but they pay too much tax for what they get or whatever. I don't give a shit.
Where the fuck is Alberta? Is that up top?
It's a little bit to the left of the middle, I think, right? Yeah.
Okay.
I think I've been there.
Oh, it's just next to British Columbia. Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Geographically
kind of tedious, Canada. I mean, like, the way the states are demarcated. You look at it and you're like, there's just like a row of them here and then a row of them there. What are you doing?
Pretty
Add a little interest
as
in
bad as us.
Have some interesting
parts, make
it crazy.
Parts, you know? Yeah.
Make it crazy.
Make it crazy up there.
Make it crazy.
Dude,
up
more
there.
Gerrymandering.
Make it all none of it. All none of it next time. You know?
Yeah. Mix
it
up.
Oops, all none of it?
Oops, all none of it.
God, it's fun to say, isn't it?
It's a good word.
The videos, which manipulate real news stories, make it appear as if support for joining the US is widespread and imminent in the province. So you're not seceding to become independent. You want to secede to become part of the United States?
Like part of
Montana?
You want
to hitch your wagon?
Want to hitch your wagon to Montana?
To the US?
Well, they don't. They're like very kind of. But it's just the Dutch.
That's the Dutch
that are
one.
Saying
it's
the it.
Dirty
the perfidious Dutch.
Dutch.
Dutch crave long Montana?
Yeah.
Tall Montana?
Montana?
Awful Dutch crave long Montana.
But is this propaganda or is this a joke?
What have they got against Canada?
Because this is funny to me to pretend that Alberta might
become
secede to the US, right? Like,
to become the 51st
just
state.
Just Alberta.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, well,
and then it would be even funnier if they did it.
Yeah. That would be funny. I think that would be like such a fucking hilarious dud move to be like, that's it. We're out of here. We're joining America once and for all. And then three years later,
just as they're becoming ascendant.
Like cooling
so
ash.
Obliterated, yeah.
And mutants.
None
of
it, though.
Lots
of
subway
strong.
Mutants. Yeah. The videos have been viewed over 40 million times and were published through 20 separate YouTube channels, according to a report by the Media Ecosystem Observatory, joint project between the University of Toronto and McGill University in Montreal.
It's an underground movement.
The researchers said the channels are part of a coordinated effort to profit anonymously from political and social tensions in the country. The content uses and exaggerates real issues using frequent and obvious lies, the report said.
How are you... Frequent and obvious lies is very funny.
America's still going strong.
Yeah.
One of the big ones.
All those Pinocchio noses coming up at the bottom of the screen.
Actually, fact check. America sucks ass now.
That is a bad idea. That would be stupid to do.
How are they profiting?
What?
Is this something like a...
It's literally just views.
Just from views.
Views.
We could be doing it. You could be doing
this. That's
fair
game then. All right.
We could just start lying more, having more extreme opinions, and like our numbers would be like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead, we keep picking all these sort of middle ground, sort of nuanced opinions like, I don't want to weigh in on that because I'm worried about getting in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to just not.
I do
not
hate getting
instinct.
In trouble, though.
Yeah. You have to be more of a Daisy Cousins type figure, you know, and just sort of willing
successful.
To say something insanely stupid and then
dressing
like
grandma's toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Wearing a doily. Ah, oh, what a reference.
Yeah, blast from the past. You guys remember Daisy Cousins. The CBC News investigation found that actors hired to present the videos, many of whom are not Canadians, did so unknowingly, believing they were auditioning for other roles and never gave permission for the footage to be used.
That's so funny. Yeah, I love Tim Hortons.
I love the idea that, like, oh, the script will be completely unrelated, but I'm just going to press the button on the camera here. You just read out this here saying that the only good move is for Alberta to join America once and for all.
Yeah. Just we're more not Canadian use it for with anything. It. More Canadian with it.
This microphone only picks up Canadian English.
Hit that
really
a bit
sorry.
Harder.
We'll fix that before.
One of the three Dutch nationals linked to the videos admitted to broadcaster BNR he was involved. The other two have denied involvement. They're linked to Faceless Education Community, an online course run by Dutch entrepreneur Niels van der Linde, which teaches people how to make money from anonymous YouTube channels.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
So, like, all that stuff that's making your, like, grandma or whatever go completely
insane,
fucking insane,
yeah.
There's just a bunch of people that are like, oh, yeah, just churn out any random crap that, like...
Just to get views.
Just that will rile them up. And then you'll get views and those are monetized. And then YouTube won't really do anything about it because they need the views for ad clicks
for
and
ads.
Stuff. So that's how they make money. So
your grandma's watching Long Alberta and she's like, you're not going to believe this. They're making Long Alberta.
They're making it long. And that's
meanwhile,
what everybody wants. Montana Belta.
Google's pocketing billions in profits from those surveys of which of these brands have you heard of? And the answer is always none of the above.
Yeah.
And
I
somehow
have never heard of
McDonald's.
Made
don't
them
know.
Like one
haven't
of the
heard
biggest
of
companies on earth.
Yeah.
Pepsi? No idea.
Pepsi?
No idea.
They did to me.
Fabricated poll results, skewed statistics, and made up political comments were used in the videos, which the report dubbed slupaganda. Alberta is an oil-rich province of Canada where tensions over national taxes has created some support for secession from the country. Look, if you want to get out of Canada, I don't blame you. Not a lot happening there, but don't. Just start your own thing.
Yeah. Become you don't have to be part of Montana.
Be the Principality of Alberta. Get a fucking prince.
Yeah.
Get a
invent
get
some
get
royal
his face
regalia.
On a coin.
Yeah,
oh, my
crazy.
God. Wouldn't that feel good? You could pick and choose from all of history's regalias.
Yeah.
And create a hybrid, introduce your own elements. You're not bound by tradition at all.
But step one is minting.
Yes.
I mean, that's half the fun. You don't got to work out the maths or anything. Just peg it to the Canadian dollar.
And, you know, just in the interim, put like a recognizable sort of figure on one side of the coin, maybe like the King of England or something, just to, you know, make sure people think that it's real, it's legit. Yeah. Hey, this was definitely an episode of the podcast. Bunta Vista, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for supporting this show, especially now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Now more than ever.
Yeah.
Yes. It's
these
never
crazy
been
times.
More important for you to give us money so you get more podcast.
Yes.
Otherwise, we're going to have to start getting like controversial on purpose. Going to have to start lying about stuff. Going to have to start doing
reads.
Some like, yeah, oh, man. We were talking about that the Pete Holmes brain pills ad reads that I was getting Instagram ads for. Turns out he's been doing them for ages, and like I was trying to find if anyone that actually like really like super fans of Pete Holmes have said anything about it. And there's a lot of posts in the Pete Holmes subreddit of people being like, does anyone else fucking hate these? And then half the comments of people being like, yeah, these suck. And everyone else is like, well, he's got to pay the bills.
Get your bag, King. Hey. Yeah.
Man, are we just like wrong about how much money celebs make?
I think we might be. They don't make as much money as they used to. That's for sure.
But they still probably make more money than like us.
Yeah, they make more money than us.
They're getting better than like the hospitality award, right? That's my guess. Yep.
Then I need to do the ads.
I think we just had a point where our society moved past the concept of like selling out as being anything that anyone ever has to feel bad about or explain or take any of the shine off them as a result of.
No ethical consumption, et cetera.
Yeah, we just live in the everyone's got to get their bag world now, I guess.
Yeah, it got really annoying when people started doing this sort of like, well, what are they supposed to do? They live under capitalism of people that are making like billions of dollars.
Yeah, I don't think that counts.
There's probably like a threshold where it's like, oh, I don't know.
He's getting
Cut that. That's right. I'll just beep the keywords and people can guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. You can have like a little bit of dignity about what you do,
just
right?
A little bit.
Like a little tiny bit of, I don't know. I mean, we don't, obviously, but the dignity we don't have is because of all the cum talk, not because of like selling out, you know.
We've chosen our dignity.
Also, we don't have anyone to sell out to. No. We're not getting offers.
We're not getting offers. It's not like we're thwarting them off.
Yeah. We really risked our brand deal with Legos when I was talking about their freaking Cacio e Pepe. Got it made a pretty penny from Legos. We will talk to you on a made episode. Stay safe out there. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, mate.